Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. These readings, these weeks are so, exciting, and I'm anticipating all the grace that God wants to give us now, not just thinking about what happened 2,000 years ago, but now, right now, the graces that were given to his first disciples are there for us right now. So open your heart. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, starting with verse 15, and then through chapter 18, verse 1. After Paul's escorts had taken him to Athens, they came away with instructions for Silas and Timothy to join him as soon as possible. Then Paul stood up at the Areopagus and said, "You Athenians, I see that in every respect you are very religious. For as I walked around looking carefully at your shrines," and these are pagan shrines, "I even discovered an altar inscribed to an unknown god. What therefore you unknowingly worship, I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and all that is in it, the Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in sanctuaries made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands because he needs anything. Rather, it is he who gives to everyone life and breath and everything. It is he who gives to everyone life and breath and everything. He made from one the whole human race to dwell on the entire surface of the earth. And he fixed the ordered seasons and the boundaries of their regions so that people might seek God, even perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your poets have said, for we too are his offspring. Since, therefore, we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divinity is like an image fashioned from gold or silver or stone by human art and imagination. God has overlooked the times of ignorance when you didn't know, but now he has revealed himself. And now, though God has overlooked the times of ignorance, he now demands that all people everywhere repent because he has established a day on which he will judge the world with justice through a man he has appointed, and he has provided confirmation for all by raising him from the dead." So here's Paul now. We've read earlier this week about some of the other disciples and what they suffered, and now here's Paul, and he's proclaiming publicly what the truth is. "And when they heard about resurrection from the dead, some began to scoff, but others said, we should like to hear you on this some other time." Don't we do that sometimes? I love that sentence. This is very good. I'm interested. We'll be in touch with you again to talk about it. And you know you're being dismissed. So there's probably a little inkling of curiosity, but not enough to say, "Speak the truth, show us, explain to us, help us." It wasn't any of that. "We should like to hear you on this some other time." And so Paul left them. But some did join him and became believers. And among them were Dionysius, a member of the court of the Areopagus, a woman named Damaris, and others with them. After this, he left Athens and went to Corinth. Paul suffered a great deal too, but he was a very bright man, and he was able to handle this without causing some kind of a riot. Psalm 148 tells us, "Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Heaven and earth are full of your glory." Look around you, brothers and sisters. Look around at the glory of God. Look around at what God has for you. Draw near to him. We look now at the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 12 to 15. Jesus said to his disciples, "I have much more to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. But when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will guide you to all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you." We're being drawn, if we allow ourselves to be led, we're being drawn into the possibility of union with God. How often do you think that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit? How often do you think about that and about what that means? That is a reality. That's not just a pious phrase. It's a reality. If you're in the state of grace, you are in a certain way a living tabernacle. If there's anything in your life that hinders that light and that truth, please confess it and get rid of it so that God can abide, that he can make his home with you, that he can dwell with you. That's what God wants to do. He wants to dwell with you. But we have to open our hearts to receive it. Several years ago, I wrote a book entitled More of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to be saying more about this book, but if you go to our website, renewalministries.net, and then just click on bookstore, you can order a copy of the book, More of the Holy Spirit. This would be a time to read that over this next month, over this next 6 weeks, a real time to read this material. What are the gifts of the Holy Spirit? How does God give them? What do I do with them? How do I know what gifts I have? So I've laid a foundation for understanding more in my book, More of the Holy Spirit. And if you haven't read it, I really urge you to do so. It's more a book, yes, I think you'll be inspired, but it's also more a book where you really want to ponder, you want to think, you want to take notes, you want to apply it to your life. One of the great concerns I have is how Catholics sitting in the pews, most of them, if not all, have been baptized. They've received their first communion, they've gone to the sacrament of reconciliation, and they've been confirmed. And how many of us are living out of those gifts? Those gifts constitute a share in the very life of God himself. God's not giving you something that's just a nice trinket. He's giving you himself. And we need to draw closer and closer to him so that we can hear his voice, so that we can see from his perspective, so we can even gain the wisdom to know what to do in certain situations and to be able to receive gladly all that God has and wants to give us to equip us. But we, I think, went through study, we catechism, teaching, and then we got baptized or confirmed or first communion, confirmation. Those things happened to us, but it was more like, somebody put it this way one time, it was like a graduation exercise. Okay, I have that sacrament, I'm done, I'm finished. Like we would treat the academic world. But even in the academic world, you study in order to put those things into practice, that knowledge into practice in your life. And most people don't do that. Yep, I've been baptized. Yeah, I've been confirmed. Yes, made my first communion. Yes, I've been to the sacrament of reconciliation. Yep, done it all. And it's like, it's my check. I've checked it off, but I'm not living it because I don't have any idea how to live it. Perhaps our catechesis was poor or non-existent, or we just didn't pay attention. The treasure, the greatest treasure of the world, union with God, is being given to us through the sacraments. And we've got to stop treating it like, as I said, an academic exercise. We really need to take a look. And I think my book, More of the Holy Spirit, just go to renewalministries.net, click on bookstore, and you can order a copy of it. But I really urge you to take seriously what God has given us. Because every one of us, and I don't say this to frighten, it's just a fact. Every one of us will have to render an account for what we have done with the graces given to us in the sacraments, plus all the other graces that God gives us in his own way. We want to be in a place where we can both receive the gifts and use them. That is what is going to bring light into the darkness in which we're living. You know, we don't realize how dark our situation is. We just don't realize how we've pushed God to the absolute periphery in this country that we can do. And many times it's within the church itself, as well as in our country, as well as in our area of the country. Because there are forces trying to push it to sideline, to make inconsequential anything that would be the teaching of Jesus Christ. We need clear disciples today. We need disciples. Doesn't mean you have to have 6 degrees. It doesn't mean that. It means that your heart is always seeking him, always seeking to be like him, calling on the graces of the sacraments to strengthen you, to fortify you, to lead you. You're ready so that when God calls you in a situation, you're ready. You don't have to be a PhD, but you do have to be a genuine disciple who prays daily, daily. I say it one more time, daily. And if we are, if we're giving God time, we're going to be able to receive the graces that he has for us. The gospel says, again, he will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears and will declare to you the things that are coming. He will glorify me because he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I told you that he will take from what is mine and declare it to you. God wants to draw us into union with him, but he won't violate our free will. How many times I say that, but how true. We're the ones that need to pray. We're the ones that need to accept Jesus' invitation. We're the ones that need to receive more and more of his Holy Spirit, guiding us, directing us, enkindling in us the fire of his love. That's what's needed in the world today. May you be on board all the way. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, dial 1-800-282-4789. You can also go to my website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. There you can get the free copy of my booklet, and you can also order a CD, From Death to Life, The Fruit of Suffering in Our Lives. May God bless you.